Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Yes, they are. Doug Oster and Jessica Wallace are just moments away, but always a great time to call in now to become a part of the program. Get all of your questions answered, 866-391-1020. And yes, we'll take the 10th caller right now at 412-922-1020 to win that amazing $25 gift certificate from the good folks out in Wexford that is, of course, Sorgles. But right now, here they are, stars of the show, Doug Oster, EverybodyGardens.com, and Jessica Wallace. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. I am Doug Oster from EverybodyGardens.com and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
Boy, there's a lot to do.
There sure is. Welcome to fall, right?
Yeah. There's no sitting around in fall. There's lots to do.
There is. And it starts for me with our tulip poplar. And the last time the Davy Tree guys were in, I asked them why my tulip poplar is dropping all these leaves. And they mentioned that because it was wet early and now it's really dry, that some types of trees, including tulip poplars, are dropping their leaves early. So I'm already sweeping them off of the patio. I don't mind them in the lawn. We just mow over them and that's all good. But yeah.
I don't think I've ever really experienced a season like this where everything has just gone completely crazy because of all that rain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking before we came on about our Mexican sunflowers. You know, we talk a lot about Mexican sunflowers, but your neighbor actually had to come over because they were so big. Mine are just, they're got to be 10 feet tall. I've never had them get that big. And the woods are just covered in wildflowers. And it's just been a remarkable season.
It really has. And it's been remarkable in the vegetable garden as well. I was out there yesterday doing some cleanup and some weeding in there, and I pulled the old cabbage plants out and some old broccoli out, and then I get to work this morning, and Doug's car pulls up next to mine, and he opens up his trunk, and he says, I got some stuff for you, and it's a flat of exactly what I need to fill in the empty spots. We have kale, two different types of kale, and lettuce seedlings.
I wish I would have read what that white one was, because it's one I wasn't familiar with. I saw it when I bought it. I wanted to buy the Red Russian, which I love for you, and then the white one was something different. And I was looking at the tag when I was there, but then of course, 2 seconds later,
it's out of your mind.
Out of my
right.
Mind.
Well, this is good for our listeners as well, because if you're a vegetable gardener or you just want to grow some greens in a container on the back patio, a lot of our local garden centers now have fall plantings of these cold tolerant crops. And I'm going to try to overwinter my kale. I have like a little raised bed top cold frame top I'm going to put over it in the garden and see if we can get it to overwinter. I'm also going to plant a little section of my garden with oats as a cover crop. I've been doing a lot of research on different cover crops for home gardeners for my next book that's coming out next year. And oats is one of the ones that comes highly recommended. I usually do winter rye, but it's really tough to turn over. It lives through the winter. The oats are winter killed here in Pennsylvania. So I'm curious to see.
Where do you get the seeds?
I actually ordered mine online, but there's probably some local feed stores and things where you can get oats. I wanted to make sure that mine were organic. So I wanted to get a particular variety. So I ordered mine online. But, you know,
when do they need to be planted?
They should be planted by early to mid September. So I'm like, I need to get moving on it right now because they're supposed to germinate this fall.
It's early to mid September.
I know. That's why I ordered them. I'm expecting them to come in a couple of days. So, but they grow in the fall and through the early part of winter, and then they die off over the winter. They don't survive winter here. And then what you do in the spring is you leave sort of the detritus, right? So you leave their stems, their debris in the garden undisturbed, and then you can actually plant right through it. And it really is good at weed management as well. So some of the other cover crops, you know, you have to mow, you have to turn them over to make sure they don't come back. In a home vegetable garden, that can be really challenging. So that's why the oats are often recommended for home gardeners in the north like we are. So I'm going to do a little experiment, grow it side by side with the kale and see how we do.
And you said that kale is for a photo shoot for the next book, right?
It is, yeah. Yeah, so I have to do I'm going to do the kale with the oats growing together and then, you know, late in the season, and then we'll be able to show sort of what that combination looks like in the landscape.
Well, I love overwintering this stuff. Now, when I was getting this stuff, we were texting each other back and forth, and of course I said, well, they have some really good looking arugula. Jessica doesn't like arugula, but I bought arugula and a couple other cool weather crops. There are some beets, actually. I love putting beets in this time of the year. Even if you don't get the giant full-size beet, you'll get a beet, and that will just sit there, you know, under protection. But I can pull those beets out in like January for a thaw or something, and it's just amazing.
Now, do you ever put like layer of straw mulch on them, or do you just use your cold frame tops?
I'll put both. Put the straw all around them real thick, and then...
Like 4 or 5 inches? Is that real thick?
Maybe not that thick.
Like three.
Depending on how... Okay. Depends on the plants.
Sure.
And then I've got those plastic skylights. They're about the size of a bed, you know, 3x4, something like that, and I'll just put those on top, and then I've got those old street light covers from Construction Junction. Those are phenomenal. I actually found at a place down the road from me, it had this big, you know, like 6 foot by 3 foot window sitting out in the back for a long time, and a guy I work with is writing this thing called The Sophomore Gardener. And I said, he says, I'm going to go to Construction Junction and get cold frame. And I said, well, I don't know. Let me see if what they're doing with this piece of glass. 6 foot by 3 foot, and the glass is an inch thick.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, he's actually going to be over Monday. We're doing a live video, and I think it might fit in his hatchback, but if not, I'll have to deliver it in the truck. But so
that's
he's really into it. I mean, I can't imagine second year already thinking cold frame.
Yeah.
You know? He's really, it was fun to read his stuff last year. You know, he's got 2 young kids and a wife and everything, and they're working their way through that discovery of having a garden. I mean, I'm kind of like living through his stories. I just think it's really neat. And then the woman who does my video, I convinced her to write a first time gardening thing.
And, oh, nice.
She was in the garden, and I gave her a Sun Gold, little orange cherry tomato, and she just looked at it, and I'm like, what are you doing? Just eat it. She's never really eats like raw tomatoes like that. She loved it.
All right, folks, congratulations to Joyce Winter of Pittsburgh, of course, of that wonderful certificate from Sorgles, and we've got the Janoski certificate to give away as well, but we've got room for you on the phone lines. Give us a call, 866-391-1020. This is the Organic Gardeners. Next hour, Joan Frank, then TC Tomatoes, Eggplant, Zucchini, Cleaning Up the Garden, and some great recipes on the Coons Cooking Hour. Good morning. No, Jim. Let's go to Kay in the North Hills. Kay, how you doing?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Kay. Welcome back.
I listen every single day you're on. I have a redbud tree. I got it from the Arbor Day donation. It's about 2 years old. It's about not quite 36 inches high, and I want to transplant it. What do I do to do that?
What's your nickname for red buds, Jess?
Dead buds. Because
how many have you killed? I've killed one.
Well, I haven't killed it. It's just they sort of have a limited lifespan, and so they do beautifully for 12, 15. It's like a peach tree. You know, they do great for 12, 14 years, and then all of a sudden, that's the end of your red bud tree. So,
okay.
And sometimes they do have branch dieback. They get like a root rot, and then you'll have one branch die at a time. So, yeah, that happens.
Getting
too.
To a good time to transplant, though.
We are getting to a great time to transplant. But what I would do is I would hold off until we start getting a little bit more rain. It's been pretty darn dry. And so I would wait maybe another week or two in hopes that we start to get a little more moisture. If we don't, I would water that tree really well, maybe every 2 or 3 days for about 2 weeks, and then move. But you have to make sure that when you move it, the new site stays really well watered. And I'm not just talking about little tiny bits of rain here and there, but really nice, deep, thorough watering through the first year after you move it. That's going to be critical to the success.
Okay. And how deep do I dig the hole, and how wide do I make the hole?
Well, you're going to base that on the size of the root ball that you dig out. So, you know, if you get down in there and the roots are really down and deep and, you know, wide, they're probably going to be more wide and pretty fibrous. So you would, you know, dig it out, and then I would sort of wrap it up in plastic or, you know, a piece of tarp or something like that. And you could prepare the new planting hole and make sure you go plenty wide and plenty deep, and then, you know, and then move it over. I would say for probably 36 inches. What do you think, Doug?
One of the biggest mistakes I think you can make when you're moving a tree is not getting all the roots that you can.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell from sitting here, but,
okay,
you know, think about what you can actually lift and move.
Yeah.
You know, the size of that hole. And I always try and dig some type of planting hole first for the transplant, but again, you don't know how big it's going to get. But you know, the least amount of time that you leave it out of the soil, the better. But also be sure not to plant it any deeper than it already was. That's another thing that will kill a tree. So you just kind of got to play around with it. You know, I have an old tree spade that I love, and it's, how would you explain that? It's like a long shovel. How would you explain that?
Does it have
that?
The serrated edge? Sort
no.
of long and
well,
slender
I do. I have
shovel.
One with, I have the new one with serrated edge, but okay. I've got an old one that was my grandfather's.
Okay.
It's just like a
tapered.
Probably,
it's like tapered,
yeah,
long and tapered blade.
Right. Probably 24 inches long. Yeah. And
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that's its job.
Right.
Is, you know, and so I go at an angle and I go all the way around and try and get as much as I can, and then, you know, gently lift it out. I've seen it too often where it's done in a hurry, and they start prying it out, and then all they have is basically the main root, and that's all they have, no dirt or anything, and they're running it over to the planting hole, and then you got, you know.
Yeah, you'll try to keep as much soil on
right.
those roots as possible, which will really help protect them.
And keep the same dirt that it's going to grow in.
Exactly.
Put it back.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, whatever comes out of the hole goes back into the hole with tree
okay.
planting. Yep, yep.
All right, Kay, good luck.
All right, let's try Jim again out in Wexford. Jim, go ahead. Good morning. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Hey, I got a question for Jessica. I guess springtime, she told me to take my, I don't have a water place because I live in an apartment, and to take my plants and put them in the shower and, you know, soak them and overflow them and things like that to get some of the, some of the old dirt off top. But the plants are in 5-gallon buckets, you know, with reservoirs in the bottom, and I want to replant them because they're just getting too big. And what is the best way to split them?
What kind of plant was it again?
Well, I have a peach plant, and then I have the, it's like the indoor ivy plant.
Okay, like a Swedish ivy or something like that.
I want to do those two. But when I pull them out of the pot, I know I'm going to get a lot of roots. And I'm just wondering if I can lighten that dirt up a little bit. I don't want to put another, you know, that's 50, 60 pound of dirt I'm lifting there.
Right, right. So, I mean, the peace lily is pretty easy to divide. That's actually a basic, just kind of a crown division. So you could divide it and put it into two smaller pots, which would make it easier to move. This is not really the ideal time, though, to be dividing houseplants. Spring is the best time to do that.
Okay.
You know, I would say when you take it out, take a look and see how dense the roots are. You might be able to really kind of, it's hard to say because it's not really the best time to be doing this kind of work with houseplants. Spring is so much better.
I can wait till spring.
Yeah,
I was just wondering when I pull it out, I'm going to get a big bunch of roots, and I'm just wondering
if peace lily is going to have a ton of roots in there, but that plant is tough as nails, and so is the ivy.
Yeah, I would wait till spring. Yeah. I would wait till March to do it right before active growth begins. I think that's just going to be better for you.
Okay, now do I pull them apart or can I cut them?
The Swedish ivy?
Yeah, or I'm talking about the peace plant. If I took a knife or something and cut the roots down the center, or do I have to pull them apart?
I would try to pull them apart, but if they're so root bound that you can't pull them apart with your fingers, then yes, you can take a pruning saw
or a small chainsaw
or some other type of saw and cut them apart that way. They're a little more sensitive than some perennials and things like that are, but they're still pretty tough plants. So I think you would be okay.
All right, what we're going to do now is we're going to step out and get caught up on the news at 7:30. Then we'll get right back to it. Got that Janoski's gift certificate to give away. Next hour, Joan Frank Dentisi, that 8 o'clock hour that's dedicated to the Coons Cooking Hour, cleaning up the garden, tomatoes, eggplants, zucchini, and more. All sorts of great recipes to share with us. And then Heffron Tillotson, Germani, and you. Then it's the big black and gold end zone party over at Heinz Field hours before the big game. And, of course, the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday show is live at the Rivers Casino beginning at 11 a.m. All of this today coming up on KDKA Radio. If you want to join Doug and Jeff, that number is 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Yes, they are. But before we get back to Doug and Jeff, let's take the 10th caller to win that gift certificate from the good folks at Janoski's Pumpkinland coming up that final weekend in September and every weekend in October, getting ready for that time of year. All right, 412-922-1020. And let's say hi to Mary Lou in North Swickley. Hi, Mary Lou. Good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning. My question is this. I bought these Gerber daisies in the spring of the year, and they have bloomed beautifully. My question is this. What do I do with them now that fall and winter are coming in? Is there some way I can overwinter them?
You certainly can. You can move them indoors as a houseplant, but...
Yeah.
I would have too many of them.
Yeah. Oh, you could just pick your favorites and move those.
Yeah, just pick a couple, but it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, not going to be easy. They kind of go into a dormancy, so you think they're dead. All their leaves turn brown and die off, and then you're like, oh, no, it's just an empty bare pot. They may or may not come back again. For me, it's one of those plants like a primrose that you buy indoors to bloom in February. They're not really worth all the effort for a small chance that they're going to survive.
You gave me the answer I needed.
Yeah.
I figured I want the easiest avenue I have here.
Enjoy them until the cold takes them.
Yeah, and you can take them inside and just, you know, if they have buds on them, just take them inside, you know, once a threat of frost arrives and just let them bloom indoors. But once they start to look kind of raggedy and, you know, go dormant, then maybe just pitch them if you want. So
time to put the mums in.
There you go. Indeed, indeed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Diane is next from McCandless. Hey, Diane.
Hi. I had a question about garlic.
Okay,
my son bought a house, and there were these 2-foot-high stems growing with a ball on the end and these little beads in it that smelled like onion. And I pulled out one and took it to Hans, and the girl at Hans told me that the root that happened to come along with it was garlic. I was shocked. It was just like the size of a gumball. But anyway, that's as big as they got. They grew from last year, and then they came back this year the same thing. So I wanted to know, what can I do to get them bigger? Will they grow again, or do I have to plant new ones?
I guess we need to figure out for sure if it's garlic. It could be some type of allium. It could be, right?
It could be Egyptian walking onions, which is my original thought.
It could be anything from the onion family.
The stalk that had the little baubles, the little tiny baubles on it, was it a thick, wide stalk that was hollow, or was it like a slender stalk that was solid?
You remember?
It was a slender stalk.
Did it have like a little curlicue on the end of it? Like, did it twist around?
Yeah, curlicue on the end.
Okay, so then it was garlic.
Yeah, that's garlic.
Yeah, then it was garlic.
Now, do you have like the bulb, and is it in the ground still, or where is the bulb?
There's a few, you know, there was just about a whole hillside of them. And I just, you know, I yanked out the one, went to break it, and here the whole root came, and that's how the girl saw the root and said, oh, that's garlic.
Do they have, like, does it have separate cloves, or is it one big root ball?
It was one, each one was an individual root, or individual bulb.
Okay. And
could be a wild garlic, could be, you know, it's hard to tell.
I think it's a wild garlic, because cultivated garlic like that, the bulb, if you think about, if you know, when you buy garlic at a grocery store, it's a bulb, but then it breaks apart into all these separate little cloves. And so that's true garlic. There are lots of garlic relatives in the Allium family, as Doug was talking about earlier, that have a solid bulb that don't break apart into cloves like that. Some of them, you know, are edible. Many of them are like marginally edible. They're not poisonous, but like I wouldn't eat them. Without knowing...
Yeah, I did break them apart. I did break them apart and had all these little garlic things, and I used it as garlic. I was making pickles, and I stuck that in there.
Okay. Okay. I hesitate to be like, oh, yeah, it's definitely garlic without seeing it and knowing for sure. But you just, if you like it and you enjoyed it, then I would say, and you didn't have any problems with it, then I would say you can go ahead and break those cloves apart and plant them in the garden
and see what happens. Usually plant them in October. You know, 3 inches down, 6 inches apart, in good soil, and then a nice blanket of straw on top of them, and then next year they'll start sprouting when the crocus do, and they'll be ready to actually come out around July.
Okay, all right, then that's what I'll do.
All right,
but
good
luck. But to grow garlic, do you buy individual ones? Is that how you do them, like you would do potatoes?
You buy the garlic bulb, and then... You would split that up into cloves. So one bulb would, and then those cloves by next year will give you an entire bulb. So it's different than potatoes. Potatoes you'd cut up in, you know, at least one eye on each one. So it's pretty easy with garlic because you save the biggest cloves. I always plant the biggest cloves for the biggest bulbs and then use the little ones in the kitchen.
Okay, that's what I'll do. I tried to pull one out now and it just broke off at the grind.
You have to dig it. You'll have to dig. Get down under there and dig it out.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Good luck.
It was funny when the one came out. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Congratulations to Mary from Evans City, winner of that gift certificate from Janoski's. And right now, let's go to Emlington and say good morning to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, sir. I have a question about my winter pear tree. It's an old tree. It's probably 40 years old. Maybe a little more. Last year and the year before, it started dropping its leaves somewhere in the middle of July to the end of July. This year, I probably got 3/4 a bushel to a bushel of pears on it. They're about the size of a ping pong ball, and they're not good, but I don't understand why it's dropping its leaves so early. Now, there's a little bit of leaves on the top of the tree where there was new growth last year, but I don't know what's going on. Do you have any ideas?
Well, I'm suspecting some type of fungal disease.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, especially the last few years. You know, you look at flowering crabs, most fruit trees this time of the year have, you know, are almost...
Especially with how much rain we had this spring, which is sort of like a hotbed for fungal spores. So I suspect that's what happened, and that's why the leaf loss is happening. And probably the plant is also stressed, I would assume, because we had such a wet spring, and then the last few weeks have been extremely dry. And sometimes we talked about at the top of the hour that you know, that the trees get stressed by that dry period after so much moisture, and they will drop a certain percentage of their leaves as sort of like a protective mechanism to keep them from losing more moisture. So they'll drop early. So I think maybe a little bit of that is going on combined with a potential fungal issue. I would just chalk it up to a bad year for the tree and cross your fingers for better weather next year.
Okay. All right. So there's nothing I can spray I can put on or anything to...
Certainly not at this. Yeah, certainly not at this time of year. I would recommend a dormant oil spray in February or early March, which will help smother any overwintering fungal spores. And then a good leaf cleanup. You have to get rid of all of those leaves because they would also harbor fungal spores that would then, you know, go up onto the plant for the following year. So
what about a fungal treatment starting next spring, Jess?
Yeah, so you could do the one I like for almost all fungal pathogens is a product called Serenade, which is what's called a biofungicide. So it's
I've heard you talk of that before. Now, is that a spray or
it is.
That just a stick?
But you could
it's
get
a spray. It's a
for
spray.
A tree, you could get it as a concentrate.
Yep, mix it yourself.
Mix it and then put it in a sprayer, and that would, you know, that would make more sense for a big
tree. Okay, now, is that a one-time shot deal, or
nope.
Is that every 2 weeks?
Nope,
or?
No fungicides are one-shot deals. Like, they all have to be reapplied. There'll be instructions on the label for you. I think it's every probably 14 days. From, you know, a certain point in the season to another. The instructions will be on the label, and you want to make sure that you follow them to the T, because those are the ones that were tested and approved and all that stuff. It's a great product, and it really does help manage all mm-hmm. types of fungal diseases.
Very good.
All right.
Thank you.
Good luck. Thank you.
All right. We'll take a short break, check some sports, come back, a little bit more time with Doug and Jess, then the Coons Cooking Hour after Melinda checks the news at 8. Good morning. All right, ladies and gentlemen, guess who's back?
It's Mrs. Know-It-All. That's Denise Schreiber. How are you, Denise? I would give you your normal talk-up, but I don't have it in front of me. So.
There's a little computer
issue
here this morning.
Here,
so
I couldn't print out the rundown.
He's off without a script, man. He just
I don't even know if I can
himself.
Do the outro
you know
without
what?
Reading
After
it.
After all these years... You should have it right.
Yeah. I agree. Really. Well, listen, I'm going to do it. It's Denise Schreiber, our Mrs. Know-It-All. She's a fellow garden writer, horticulturist, and all-around garden goddess. Good morning, Denise. How are you?
I guess we know who the brains of the outfit is, right?
Like, there's a question? That was close, but it wasn't spot on. But
so
we'll take it.
The lady who called in about her Eastern Redbud, they are susceptible to verticillium wilt as well, so that's another reason they kind of just go south all of a sudden, especially after a rainy couple of years. But the other thing is, when she's going to transplant it, people, you know, the old adage of burying it deep in a hole twice as deep and twice as wide is wrong. Now it's twice as wide, but you only want to plant it as deep as it is when you take it out of wherever you're taking it from. But she needs to make sure that the root flare is showing. That's another mistake people go. They think they can bury it deep. And if people don't know what the root flare is, it's if you follow the trunk down, it starts to widen out a little bit right at the base, and that should be visible when you plant it. That should not be covered up, because they're not like tomatoes that, you know, you can bury tomatoes really deep and they'll develop a lot of roots. Trees aren't like that. So that actually needs to be visible, and then she can spread her out. And don't amend the soil, you know, I mean, take out any rocks you've got. You know, this is Pennsylvania, we have rocks. You know, take them out and don't tramp on it like a lot of people do, you know, to, you know, tamp the soil in. But rather, just use the back of the shovel and, you know, tap it down that way. And then you can make like a little wide ring of soil, just a couple inches wide, just to make sure it retains some water. And it should be good to go, but I would not do that now. I would wait until... Actually, I would wait till spring.
Oh, really? See, so now I think once we have a little more rain, we want to, you know, fall is the better time for me. But I mean, spring would also be fine as well. But she brings up a good point about leaving that root flare exposed. And the thing to remember is if you're going to put mulch around that tree, which is, of course, a very good idea, you're going to want to keep that away from the base of the tree as well. So your mulch, whether you're moving a little seedling like this or planting a new tree, the mulch should be several inches away from the actual trunk. So you're going to want to make sort of like we always say make a donut around the tree. You're not actually piling that mulch.
You know,
up
I wrote about
tree.
That. And again, people are surprised at that. They have been.
Yeah. It's awful.
Fooled into volcano mulching, and longtime listeners will be so tired of hearing about volcano mulching. But the reason we have to keep talking about it is because
they're
people
still
are surprised.
Doing it.
Yeah, when you do it, I talked to a source, and he was just like, the young people that are coming up, that's all they've seen.
Yeah,
you know, so they just it's just embedded into their mind that this is the way to mulch a tree. Like I told you, my son, you know, had a Japanese maple, and he wanted to show me how he's working on his landscape, and it's just like volcano mulched it. And I was like, ah!
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And that's the thing. When we see the quote-unquote professional landscapers, you know, coming in and piling mulch up against the stem, we automatically think that's the correct thing to do, and it's totally the wrong thing to do. But you're right. It's what you see every day. You automatically think it's right, and it's not. And it's, we need to kind of, I don't know, we need to create some kind of graphic to go viral to no volcanoes allowed kind of a thing. So,
well, I saw something come across Twitter from you about unusual bulbs.
Yes.
We're getting to bulb planting season. I see that they're in the nursery, less and less, unfortunately. But gosh, go out there and plant some bulbs. So what are a couple of those cool ones that are on there besides the one that I love more than any now, my Pushkinia?
Yes, Pushkinia are lovely, but there's so many wonderful unusual bulbs. Don't think you have to get stuck just on the daffodil train or the tulip train, right? So some of my favorites are a native North American bulb called Camassia. And Camassia actually has an edible root that the Native Americans would eat. And it's sort of narrow, strap-like foliage. A flower stalk that comes out the top of the plant and gets probably about 2 feet tall. And then it has these beautiful sort of periwinkle blue spike of flowers out the top. There's pink varieties, I believe, and white varieties as well.
One time I was at Chanticleer.
Oh,
and they had
a
river of Camassia, blue Camassia. Just,
love it.
Oh, it was just so beautiful. I grow them, but I can't grow them as effectively as I would like. They don't do as well for me as they did there. What else? Yeah.
Also, another native bulb that I love is the trout lily. Mm-hmm. Trout lilies are just lovely, diminutive little woodland bulbs. They have sort of a spotted leaf that comes out of the, up just on the soil. It sits right on the soil. And then a little tiny flower spike with sort of a nodding yellow flower. So it's lovely for like the top of a retaining wall where you can see it at eye level, or maybe around your front steps or a back patio, but they do like shade woodland areas. They go dormant in the summertime, as most bulbs do. So that's another good addition as well that I really
the
like.
The ephemeral nature of bulbs is what is so, you know, some people might say, well, you know, daffodil, it's only here for this long, or the trout lily or the command, it's only here for that long. And that's what makes it so special.
That's right.
Is seeing these little things bloom. We got one more that you love to grow from.
I would also say probably the species tulips.
Yeah.
People feel like tulips have to be tall with big, you know, egg-shaped flowers, when the truth is it's so many of the little species tulips that are small grouped together are quite an impact. They have some amazing colors
intense colors.
Yes, the blooms open up into like a star-shaped flower, and sometimes the interior is a different color than the exterior of the petal. So the species tulips for me are another good one. The deer do like them, but they don't like them as much as they like the standard tulips.
And you can kind of hide them.
You can kind of hide them. You can tuck them into rock gardens and things like that.
Well, so. We always recommend that you plant bulbs. This is the time to do it. I use this bulb auger. You know, the one I love is the shorter one. Mm-hmm. I know in your article you wrote about both. I love to do the whole job, you know, down low on my knees with the bulb auger and just drilling holes and dropping them in. And I can't wait. I'm going to have to place an order here after I get through with the nursery. All right. Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden
and a safer place to live.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.